Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's always a good time to talk football, and it's also a good time, any time, to hear Kevin Harlan and the call of a Super Bowl streaker. Good morning to you on that note. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man. Oh my gosh. One of my favorite conversations of the last month is embarrassing Kevin Harlan by playing that call back for him and ambushing him here on the show and his reaction, in which he vowed never to do it again.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
It's still funny. So good morning to you. It's a Thursday, April 8th, and it's been quite a week. April 7th, Wednesday, one of my favorite days that I've had in a really long time. And part of that is because I got to Skype with Grammy Helen for the first time in 3 months. But the reason I bring it up is not to tell you all about the conversation, but to tell you that I asked her if she'd been watching Jeopardy. And she said, yes, of course, she never misses Jeopardy. And I said, well, what do you think of the new guest host? And she said, I think he's good. I said, Grammy, do you know who it is? And she laughs and said, yes. But she didn't tell me who it was. So you know how sometimes kids do that? They answer your question. They don't really know what the answer is, but they say yes in the hopes that you'll give it away and tip your hand so that they can piggyback off your answer.
Rogers!
So she says, yes. I said, who is it, Grammy? And she said, don't ever tell her that I repeated this on the radio. She said, it's Arian Rodgers.
It's my quarterback.
And you know what I said? You're right, Grammy. It is Arian Rodgers. I couldn't correct her. Whatever. It doesn't matter. She's 99. She can call him whatever she wants. And I said, do you know who he is? Did you recognize him? She said, yes, I did. Even without his uniform and his helmet. And she said, oh, well, they told us here that the Packers quarterback was going to be on Jeopardy. So I don't know if she would have recognized him, if not for the fact that all of Wisconsin is buzzing about Aaron Rodgers guest hosting on Jeopardy. But the fact that she identified him all by herself, she got one letter wrong. She gets full credit for the answer. Arian Rodgers. I mean, we might suggest it to him. It's maybe the name of his first child or something. Yes, I was very proud of Grammy Helen because she knew that Arian Rodgers was on Jeopardy. So that was one of the laughs that we shared. As I mentioned earlier, she also asked me, how old are you now? Because we were talking on Wednesday on my birthday. And I said to her, no one else is allowed to ask me that, Grammy. You're the only one who's allowed to ask me how old I am now. Anyway, she looked so beautiful, and it was such a blessing to me to be able to see her on the screen again for the first time since before she broke her hip bone and went through all her struggles with the vaccination. And so she looks wonderful. She was bright, and she was cheerful, and she even got up to get a couple of books to show them to me, and she's working on a new puzzle she told me all about, and we Skyped for a good 25, 30 minutes and could have kept going, but she had to get down to the dining hall. So if you want to see the picture, I did snap a picture, not so covertly. She knew I was taking pictures, but she won't pose for them, but she puts up with me taking them. So I managed to snap a beautiful photo of Grammy Helen, and it just it was so great to be able to see her and to talk to her in person. Though she did do something to computer at one point. She knows nothing about computers. She touched something and muted me and couldn't hear me. So we had to have someone come back in and help us restart. She doesn't know how to do that. If I call in on Skype, she has no idea how to answer the call. So we're a little handicapped when it comes to our computer usage on her end, but we figured it out, and it was wonderful. It was a really neat blessing for me on my birthday. And then I saw this incredible fiery sunset, and it was like, wow, the view inside and the view outside, it's both. It's perfect here and it's perfect out there. So check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, at this very next break. I promise you, Facebookers, I will share it with you as well. And it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook as well as here on the show. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Now, we've been taking your phone calls and we'll sprinkle them throughout this final hour. Most of your calls, while we've done some football stuff, have been about your interest in the Masters and whether or not your interest wanes without Tiger Woods. That's been a phenomenon that the golf world has had to deal with for years, going back to 2009, 2010, when Tiger took his hiatus from golf for personal reasons. And then even as he was coming back, he wasn't winning. And there was this constant conversation of whether or not he's back. Is he actually back? Is he back now? Oh, he's back. Oh, no, wait, now he's really back. And then, of course, the injuries, the back injuries, the five back surgeries, and the various other injuries and maladies he's had to deal with. And so to see him at the Masters 2 years ago win his fifth green jacket, the ratings were through the roof. The interest level was through the roof. And golf has been dealing with this for over a decade now. When Tiger does not participate in a tournament, whether it's because of health or because he just chooses not to, interest wanes. Interest is not as high. The atmosphere, the electricity, the excitement around a tournament. Sponsors will tell you, when Tiger Woods agrees to take part in one of their tournaments, their ticket sales go through the roof because people want to see Tiger play. People are more interested in Tiger even now in his mid-40s. Which is why even when there's no Tiger, there's still talk about Tiger. We've heard it for the last couple of days. Even as we've got golfers getting ready for the first major of the year, the biggest golf tournament on the calendar every year, it's the Masters, and yet at least half the questions are about Tiger Woods. So we'll hear from some of the golfers later on this hour, but how does no Tiger Woods impact your interest level? We've got a poll up on Twitter, again, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and a lot of you are also weighing in on Facebook. And we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. On the eve of the Masters, we did find out the cause of that accident that Tiger's now recovering from. He gave permission to the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, to share the cause of this accident.
The primary causal factor for this traffic collision was driving at a speed unsafe for the road conditions and the inability to negotiate the curve of the roadway. Estimated speeds at the first area of impact were 84 to 87 miles per hour, and the final estimated speed when the vehicle struck the tree was 75 miles per hour. There were no citations issued, and there are no signs of impairment.
Alex Villanueva, the sheriff in Los Angeles County, who had previously told us that they knew the cause of the crash but couldn't reveal it until they had permission from Tiger's camp. And I suspect that one reason why Tiger waived his right to privacy in this case is because he wanted people to hear it from the authorities that he was not driving under the influence, he wasn't using prescription drugs, he wasn't impaired in any way. That makes the most sense to me. And in fact, if I were in Tiger's shoes, I would have done the exact same thing. While it may be embarrassing that he lost control of the car, certainly I think more people care now that he's alive when you look at the mangled vehicle. And then you think about the fact that he hit the tree at 75 miles per hour. He literally sheared the tree in half. He went right through a tree, in essence, before he careened down that ravine in Southern California. And the theory is, after reading the information from the black box, that he accidentally hit the gas pedal instead of the brake. I've done it, not in a situation like this, but there are times when your foot's in the wrong place or your foot slips or whatever it is and you hit the wrong pedal, or sometimes you're just tired and you hit the wrong pedal. And so I can imagine the panic as he started to lose control of the vehicle. If you've seen the curvature of this road, there's video out there. He was coming down a hill as the curve started to veer sharply to the left. And at that point, it seems as though he was speeding. He had picked up speed going down the hill. He lost control of the vehicle. And yeah, if you're panicking and you're just like, you're freaking out, and or you in a brief moment of panic, you start to jab at a pedal and you hit the wrong one. That would explain why there were no skid marks that and any signs that he tried to brake. But man, that is freaking scary. 87 miles per hour, 40 miles over the speed limit as he's losing control of the car, and then he hits a tree going 75 miles per hour. I'm telling you, the Genesis cab was intact, so credit to the makers of that technology and that structure of that vehicle that kept him safe, but he is blessed to be alive and to now be recovering from an accident that very, very easily could have been a lot worse. So we find out the cause of this crash the day before the Masters start, which I think just underscores the fact that he won't be there and that this is the Masters where he's won 5 green jackets and where he's dominated so much of the conversation over the course of his career. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So we'll talk a little more about the Masters as we head through the rest of this week, of course, because the first round tees off in mere hours. I did see some of the high-profile golfers are in a couple of groups around 10:30 Georgia time, 10:45 Georgia time. So we're talking about Dustin Johnson, the defending champion from November, of course, and guys like Rory McIlroy and others. So a couple of trios of golfers that you will know, even if you won't watch as much without Tiger. There are plenty of names out there that you will recognize. So we'll talk more Masters. And then coming up on our Sunday night, Monday morning show, we'll have our live analyst that will join us after the Masters tournament to kind of take us through how Augusta National was tamed and was won, how the green jacket was won. Last night in hoops, a big night for the likes of one Kevin Durant, who after 7 weeks was able to return. And even though he came off the bench because they were monitoring his minutes, didn't look like he lost a step or was out of rhythm at all.
Front court, left side, and Durant with a 15-footer, and it's good. Patented turnaround 15-foot mid-range jumper as KD is on the board. Kyrie keeps it. Whips across court, Durant steps in with three. It's good! From behind the arc of the right wing, Kevin Durant drains a three, and the Nets take a 94-68 lead with 7:40 remaining in the third. Inbound to Durant. Pounds the right-hand dribble. Turns the corner in the lane. Spins it back out to Griffin. Calmly fakes and shoots a three. It's no good. Durant with a rebound and a putback, and it's good for Kevin Durant. And he still hasn't missed a shot tonight. Brown will hold on. He'll shield it away from Jackson Hayes. Final seconds tick away in Kevin Durant's return to Brooklyn tonight. After 23 games out, the Nets reward him with a blowout. They cruise to a 139-111 victory over the Pelicans.
He played great. He's been on the court a ton. So he just hasn't been able to go up and down until more recently. So his skills have been sharp, making shots and all that stuff. And like I said before the game, he's a guy that can fit into almost any style.
Steve Nash, happy to have 2/3 of his triumvirate back. Still no James Harden, though LaMarcus Aldridge, longtime NBA All-Star. Blake Griffin was out there dunking, coming off the bench, and then posing for the Brooklyn bench. And spirits are high. The Nets are in first place in the East. However, they still have very few games where KD, Kyrie, and James Harden have all played together. So we've yet to see what that looks like. But for Durant, he came off the bench middle of the second quarter and did not miss. 5 for 5 from the field and looked as smooth as he always is.
I wasn't trying to ease into the game. I just wanted to go out there and dive right into the action. I mean, the game was already fast-paced already, so from watching it from the bench, I knew exactly how I needed to approach it. But it was pretty cool coming off the bench, I can't lie. But it was also good to play in front of the fans as well.
You know what that reminds me of? Remember when Carmelo Anthony was introduced? Was it with the Rockets? Was it that press conference? Or I can't remember which team.
With the Thunder.
With the Thunder.
With Paul George.
Okay. And somebody asked him if he'd feel comfortable coming off the bench. And he scoffed. He really guffawed. Like, are you kidding me? Pete, referring to Paul George. They say I got to come off the bench. And here's Kevin Durant, who's like, okay, it's pretty cool coming off the bench.
Hey, Pete, they said I got to come off the bench.
And the fact is, it just was a total disaster in both Oklahoma City and Houston. Although he's found new life in Portland, so give the man credit. But yeah, when I heard KD say that, that's instantly what I thought of. Hey, K or Re or whatever they call Kai. I don't know what they call Kyrie. They call him Re? Kai? Hey, Kai, they say I got to come off the bench. I mean, it's not like Kyrie's around that much, so they do need somebody else in the starting lineup. Anyway, good for Kevin Durant. It was good to see him on the floor again. I can imagine he's been chomping at the bit after 7 weeks and missing all of last season, just wanted to be out there and play, but they're taking special care with him. So it's good to see KD, and it's funny how his other teammates, guys that are all-stars, they've been in the league just as long, and maybe they're not quite as accomplished, but they're great players in their own rights, like Blake Griffin, who are raving over KD and getting the chance to play alongside him.
His numbers, I think they put him up on the screen. He'd only played 12 minutes at the time. He was like 4-for-4, 5-for-5 from the free throw line. I think 5 rebounds, 4 assists or something like that. It's just like, after missing two months and then coming back and like looking that comfortable, it's crazy.
Blake Griffin called KD's return insane in the membrane. That was one of the games in the NBA last night. It actually wasn't even the most interesting one because it turned into a nearly 30-point win for the Nets over the Pelicans. But if you missed, and a lot of you who are up at this hour probably did miss the game between the top two teams in the NBA, the only two teams that have a winning percentage better than 70% right now. We're talking Jazz, we're talking the Phoenix Suns, we're talking Devin Booker, and we're talking about Donovan Mitchell, and of course Chris Paul. He's the old man who, well, he's essentially like the Tom Brady of the NBA. He's never going away, but he's playing at such a high level. So we'll give you the deets there because that one went into overtime and it's a really good finish. Also, we had some fun finishes in Major League Baseball, a couple of walk-offs, a couple of game-winning plays at the plate. So we're going to cram as much in as we always can. Although I have to apologize to you at the bottom of the hour, but it has to be at the bottom of the hour. I'll explain. We'll get there. Producer Dave's not going to let me forget to do my mea culpa. And please take our poll. How much does your interest in the Masters change when there's no Tiger Woods? I mean, this is the Masters. It's like the Daytona 500 in NASCAR. A lot of times I think people watch just because it's the Masters. But without Tiger, does it affect you?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Both teams are having to resort to the fact they can't leave Green and Valdez out forever. 2-1, Cisco swings, golfs a pitch into shallow left field. Charging in comes Brett Gardner. He can't pick it up. Rio Ruiz scores easily. Orioles reclaim the lead, 4-3 in the 11th. 1-2. LeMahieu swings, drives it out towards right field. Santander scoops in. Runner takes off. The throw to the plate. Severino covers, and he makes the out. The Yankees have tried it 3 times. They won't succeed this time, but now laying on the ground and in just sheer disbelief as the Orioles manage to win the ball game 4-3, the play at the plate from Pedro Severino.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love the fact that Melanie Newman seemed surprised that the Orioles managed to win the game. And let's be honest, anytime the Orioles beat the Yankees, it's a big deal because the Yankees have had their number over and over in the last couple years in this AL East division. And so if at first you don't succeed, does not work for the New York Yankees. Try again, does not work for the New York Yankees. And the tying run is thrown out at the plate to preserve the win for Baltimore. We love it when it goes down to the very last play, don't we? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In fact, that's how the Oakland A's got their first win of the season, was a walk-off against the Dodgers in the bottom of the 10th. Dodgers had Trevor Bauer on the mound. He was fantastic, but the bullpen is going to be a jolly good roller coaster ride again this season, maybe. Kenley Jansen, it seems like we've seen this movie before. And then if you're looking for 10th inning drama, well, the Brewers provided it as well. It's not something that I want baseball to keep, this whole runner on second base and extra innings. But when it's a home run, I suppose that extra runner doesn't really matter.
Workman's pitch. And Kane drives this one out to center field. Back on its tap at the track. It is gone! Lorenzo Kane with a three-run blast, his second homer of the game. And the Brewers lead it 4-1.
In the 10th inning, as I said that even, and then we played the highlight there on the Brewers Radio Network, when it's not a walk-off, well, yes, it's an extra insurance run. But at least there would have been a run regardless of whether or not that guy's on second base. I feel like it's cheap. It's gimmicky to put a guy on second base just to speed the game along, especially when they're playing a full season. 162 games, nothing's taken away, nothing's shortened. Yes, they're going to have to throw a couple doubleheaders on the schedule here and there where you may have COVID postponements like the Nationals, who played two against the Braves on Wednesday, but you don't need to speed up games otherwise. And we've noticed that it really doesn't take that much time off of the clock, the game clock anyway. So whatevs. The commissioner of Major League Baseball and I do disagree on a good many things. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Bottom of the hour. That overtime battle that Donovan Mitchell said felt like a playoff game between the Suns and the Utah Jazz, the top two records in the NBA right now. And then we had a chance to catch up with Eddie Johnson, who was there at the arena in Phoenix, and he was working Suns TV. We asked him about the impact of Chris Paul and also about this whole phenomenon in the NBA of everyone playing with his BFF. And I appreciate that Eddie refuses to be a hypocrite. So you'll hear what he has to say. We'll replay a portion of that conversation coming up following the update. But let's talk to Kelly, who's in Nebraska. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Ask Eddie about the gorilla in Phoenix. He's the biggest mascot character in the whole world.
He does definitely stand out.
Yeah, he's crazy. I'm kind of bummed out about Milwaukee rallying like that because they play my Cardinals tomorrow, opening day in St. Louis, and it's going to be a big jam. Their star, Dylan Carlson, has hit a homer in the ninth inning the last two games. I'm really impressed with you and Grammy with the Skype thing. My dad just passed away, and I tried to get him to do Skype and text and everything else, and it's like another world for him.
Well, I will say this, Kelly. Grammy does not have a phone. She does not have a computer. She doesn't have a device of any kind. She's not connected to the internet. She doesn't have social media. She barely has a radio, but she does have a TV at least. They take a computer into her apartment, and they have it all set up, and they take my call or they call me on my Skype. And yesterday we got disconnected, and she had no idea what to do, so I had to wait 20 minutes for someone to come in and reconnect us again. So, yes, I am very proud of my Grammy for talking to a computer screen where she's never done this before. Not until she's 98 years old does Grammy ever Skype or do a video call for the first time in her life, because she doesn't have a cell phone. She doesn't do FaceTime. So I'm very proud of her because it's really natural. She just talks. She talks to me because she can see me. But if she had to do it herself, she would rather not.
Yeah. My dad was the same way. I can't even get him to get. He's got a flip phone, or he had a flip phone. He passed away just recently.
And I'm sorry.
I couldn't text him or anything else, you know. Had to be a conversation or nothing else.
Now, hey, there's something to be said for that, Kelly. Nothing replaces actual conversation, and certainly nothing replaces face-to-face conversation.
I realize that exactly.
Well, I appreciate your kind words. I'm so thankful that I still have my Grammy, and I'm really sorry about your dad. I know it's hard.
Yeah, you're 29 and holding now?
No, I wouldn't go back to 29 if somebody paid me. Are you kidding? I was young and dumb at 29, and I caused myself a lot of grief. No, I'm perfectly happy where I am, but you're not allowed to ask me where I am. Only Grammy Helen is allowed to ask me how old I am.
I hear you. I hear you.
Thanks, Kelly.
You betcha. See you later, Amy.
Bye. If you missed it earlier, my Grammy asked me on Skype yesterday, how old are you now? I'm not going to get upset by that. It's totally fine, Grammy. Oh, my gosh. I love her so much. And I'm telling you, she looks beautiful. I don't know what 99 is supposed to look like. Withered and wrinkled. I mean, she's got wrinkles, but they're beautiful on her. So if you haven't seen the photo, she's up on Twitter. She would kill me. She'd be so mad. She would yell at me. Actually, Grammy doesn't yell. She gives the silent treatment. When she's mad, she just refuses to talk. And so she would be so angry. But her photo, her gorgeous photo, is up on Twitter.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play It at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Booker waiting, protecting the basketball against Mitchell. Booker puts it on the floor. 14-foot jump shot. Swish. It's good. Booker, what a game he's having. 111-106, the Suns, and we're down to a minute and a half less than this one. Booker with 34 points on the night. Booker just right of the lane with his back to the basket against Mitchell. Booker into the lane. Fakes, can't get the shot off. Gets it out to Chris Paul. 3 seconds. Paul for three. Shazam! Oh, brother! 114-108 Suns, a minute to go in overtime. Mitchell will inbound the ball. They get it back to Mitchell. Mitchell on the drive. Mitchell will put up a three-pointer. Won't get it. Rebound is grabbed by Torrey Craig, and you can tell this one, Suns win. Suns win. What a basketball game.
No, you can't really emulate, you know, a game like that in a practice or, you know, a regular game, two teams that want it that bad. So, you know, the pace was higher, the physicality was higher, and I think it was a good learning, you know, learning lesson for us. You know, so it was a hard-fought game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was also the seventh straight win for the Phoenix Suns, 9 of their last 10. Devin Booker, you hear there, is talking about how important it is for them to get games like this and wins like this under their belts because it prepares them for what's to come. Of course, CP3 has been part of a lot of big games in his career, not an NBA championship, but 29 points, 9 assists, and maybe this is his best shot with the number 2 team in the NBA, according to winning percentage, and a team that's now closing in on the Utah Jazz atop the West. Clippers up next for these Phoenix Suns, but this was an impressive performance, and I, for one, would sign up to see Jazz versus Suns in the postseason because of Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell, who had 41 in this game, not to mention Rudy Gobert and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton and the others who can put on a show. These two teams right now, the best the NBA has to offer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So I wanted you to hear a little bit of my conversation with Eddie Johnson, but first, an apology. So yesterday, at this exact same time, I came out of our break, and I was supposed to talk to you about Paul Pierce and how I fell down the Paul Pierce rabbit hole. And I completely forgot. I was trying to cram in a bunch of other stuff, but I teased it. And one of my bad faults with radio, there's some things I don't do well. One of them is sometimes I tease and then I forget what I tease before the break. That's how quickly I forget. And I do something else and I get started talking about something else and I forget to go back and pay off on my tease and to do what I said I was going to do. So please forgive me. I got a tweet from a guy who said, I waited the entire segment to hear you mention Paul Pierce and tell me what happened and you didn't. Now, I wasn't actually going to tell you the specific details because, ew, I don't want to talk about them. But I apologize for that. So please forgive me. The situation with Paul Pierce, I'm sure he's discovered by now. It's, he just kind of tanked his own career. into the toilet, which I'm familiar with this week. I'm researching toilets. Anyway, you can go and check it out. But I apologize. Very often I do come back to what I teased, but sometimes I forget. And I hope that gentleman who is listening hears me apologize. Now back to NBA players that currently matter. Eddie Johnson has been part of the Suns broadcast team for 20 years. He spent 20 years in the NBA himself, and we always enjoy when we get him on the show because he pulls no punches. I wanted to ask him about these Suns, who only won 19 games 2 years ago. 19 wins 2 years ago, and here they are as the second best record in the league. Plus, I asked him about this trend of playing with your BFF because I'll just be honest, it annoys me in the NBA. So here's just a little bit of my conversation with Eddie Johnson. We started by talking about Chris Paul when he got traded and landed in Phoenix. I asked Eddie, did he have qualms about Chris being able to play at a high level into his mid-30s?
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, he's had his issues, obviously. And so you kind of worry about that and wonder if he's going to be able to really work his way through and persevere. And lo and behold, that's what he's done. He has really been great for this ball club. And he's been on the court. You know, he's been on the court consistently. So it has not been a surprise at what he can do when he's on the court. I think for us, it's how durable he's been up until this point.
There was a timeout in overtime when the camera was on him in the huddle, and he's the one talking, and everybody's listening to him, but he was the focal point as he was speaking. How has his leadership, his veteran presence, that experience been a help to this Suns team?
So it's been huge. I mean, they're listening to him. And look, this is what we do know now, right? I mean, Chris Paul struggled a little bit in L.A. because he had a young DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. And, you know, they were stars too. And so at one point in time, DeAndre Jordan was looked at as the top center in the game and Blake Griffin one of the top forwards. And so, you know, it was a lot of pushback. And then when he went to Houston, he got pushback from James Harden. But in Oklahoma City last year, he didn't get pushback. Young guys listened to him. And lo and behold, they were one of the most exciting teams last year in the league. And then he comes to Phoenix, and he does the same thing because these guys listen to him. So I think Chris Paul knows the environment he needs to be in to be able to be himself. And right now, he's got this team playing at an insane level.
His approach can kind of rub on guys who are veterans, who are older, who don't necessarily want him in their faces.
Yeah, but then they don't want to learn and win. I mean, that's what I would say. For me, if it wasn't for veterans in my life when I got in the league, I would have failed. So if those guys don't want to listen to a guy that will go down as one of the smartest players to ever play the game, if they don't want to listen to him, then shame on them. That's what I would say. Because he's proven that he can help you win ball games. And so you want to get better. You want to win. And I think Chris Paul right now epitomizes the art of winning. And the Phoenix Suns definitely can attest to that.
Eddie Johnson played in the 80s and in the 90s in the NBA. And he's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. If you don't mind, I'd love to get your thoughts on the Brooklyn Nets, because it wasn't that long ago that the Suns had a tight game against Brooklyn. So you've seen them. And I know the three stars they brought in haven't had a chance to play together much. So now KD is back, but Harden is out. But what do you think of that team, the way they put it together?
Well, I think they're in a rush to get those guys all back, because talent-wise on paper, they're devastating, okay? When you add Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge to play a role for you, along with James Harden, Kyrie, and KD, that's a really imposing team. But we've seen it before, Amy. We saw the Miami Heat with Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh. They lost the first year. You remember, we saw some great Portland teams back in the past, Clyde Drexler and Jerome Kersey and Kevin Duckworth and Buck Williams. I mean, talent don't win titles. You know, unity does. It was unfortunate for Portland back in the day because they had to deal with the Bulls, and that's the only reason they didn't win one. And I just say that, you know, Philly's looking really good.
Yes.
And they're a team. Milwaukee is under the radar, and I think they're enjoying it. And it's not going to be a cakewalk for Brooklyn. And if they don't get more time together with those guys on the court, I could see in a playoff situation where those guys don't execute as well as other teams. And that's what it's all about. So they are in a rush to really get these guys back on the floor as a unit, because right now it's like an AAU team. That's how I look at it.
You know, it's not as though there weren't teams that accumulated talent. As you mentioned, there were some super teams, even talking about the Bulls and the number of great players. They had the Celtics going back to the 80s. But what's different about this version of the NBA or the current version is that everyone wants to play with his BFF. So you have guys who they kind of want to form up together, and they come up with these ideas in the offseason or when they have an opportunity. How do you like that trend where guys kind of seem to congregate together where they want to play?
Amy, I'll be a hypocrite, though, if I said, you know, that's bad in a sense, because we never had the chance to even attempt anything like that because we didn't have free agent movement like these guys.
Right.
So would I had liked to play with my good friend Isaiah Thomas and Mark Aguirre? Yes. Would I like to go to L.A. and play with my good friend Magic? Yes. Okay, I mean, I would have. I would have enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoy playing one of my best friends in the world, Mike Woodson, who, by the way, is new head coach in Indiana. Hoosiers. I mean, those are friends. So, of course, I would want to play with them on a basketball court. So I can't be a hypocrite. I mean, these guys are able to move freely. They're able to command things that we could never command. And more power to them. I just hope that, you know, people just understand that Larry Bird probably would have left if they weren't winning in Boston, just to let you know. Michael Jordan probably would have left if he kept going and not winning titles in Chicago. But people want to always say, oh, they didn't ever leave, and they stayed. They only stayed because they were playing with Hall of Famers.
Mm.
Let's just put it where it is. I mean, so we don't know what they would have done if they were put to the test. And so I try not to really rip these guys too much. The only thing that I will say, and this is when I was hard on Kevin Durant, is I don't like when they join a ready-made winner when you're all-time great. Now, I don't like that. Like, LeBron made it. They made up a team in Miami, okay? And they got beat the first year. So they weren't as good as everybody thought they were, even them. But it wasn't a ready-made champion like KD joined in Golden State. And that's why I was so happy that he left. To go to Brooklyn, but now all of a sudden they got five guys in Brooklyn.
Right. Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. It's crazy, isn't it? I enjoy Eddie Johnson's perspective and opinions as someone who played 1,200 games in the NBA. And I appreciate that he pulls no punches, but also that he has a great sense of humor. So you can catch him on Suns TV or on SiriusXM NBA Radio. He does a show every weekday. I believe it's called the NBA Today. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So last couple of minutes here, we're checking out the results of our poll as we are now hours away, not even hours, but a little over, 90 minutes away or so from the start of the Masters, the first golfers. I guess they could be earlier tee times. It's coming up is what I'm trying to say.
Hello, friends.
Hello, Jim. And so far, 45% of you in our poll are saying you'll be just as interested in the Masters without Tiger Woods. But you listen to Rory McIlroy and you know things are not the same without him.
Anytime Tiger Woods tees it up in a golf tournament, it's better. It's better for the tournament, it's better for the players that are involved. It's better for everyone. Unfortunately, he's not here this year. You know, hopefully if his recovery goes well, you know, who knows? He could be back in 12 months' time.
And so instead of Tiger Woods, who last won this tournament when it was played in the spring at Augusta National, we've got Dustin Johnson, who's the defending champ, who says he feels good about his game right now. Bryson DeChambeau, or as I like to call him, Beefy Bryson. Jordan Spieth, who's, I think, the second highest favorite in terms of the odds, because he's always played well at Augusta National and because he's fresh off his first win in 4 years. So a lot to get excited about if you are a golf lover. Now, if you are a Tiger Woods lover and he's the reason you watch, well, then maybe you don't feel like you'll have any interest this weekend. Willie on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Tiger is a once-in-a-generation player, but something about Augusta National, it doesn't matter who plays. With many young golfers today, the PGA Tour is once again in great shape. Variety of answers on our Facebook page. Some of you are saying that you'll watch if it's close at the end of the tournament, and no doubt there'll be a lot of casual fans that will tune in if it happens to be a fight to the finish. And some of you are saying golf is boring and you wouldn't watch it anyway. So this question obviously doesn't apply to you. James says Tiger hasn't been a factor in several years. I wish the media would hype the players as much as they hype Tiger. Well, here's the deal. The Tiger Woods phenomenon needs no media assistance. We don't have to type Tiger. We don't have to type Tiger. He types himself. let's see. Matt says, been watching the Masters before Tiger was born. Oh, there's an old dude here. Look forward to the Masters every year. He says, I'm lucky to have walked Augusta National one time. It's a beautiful place. Randy says, Tiger is my guy, so it sucks he's not playing, but I'll still watch it because I'm a true fan. Let's see. Tiger hasn't been relevant for years. Bryson DeChambeau is the new draw for me. But then Antonio says, 0 minus 0 is 0. Oh, you're so funny. Well, I'm excited about the Masters, and I'm excited that you're excited, those of you who are actually excited. So we're back tonight following round number one. Thanks for joining us After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.